I look ready? Well, let's go.
World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I'm kind of conflicted this morning. I got my war hat on, my camouflage. I told somebody, they asked me about these camouflage hats. I said, well, it's either for those who want to be incognito when they're warring against the devil, or it can also be a camouflage hat for those of you who are secret Christians and don't want anybody to know it. So I always wear my hat because it's a weapon of war when I put it on. And I have kind of a mixed spirit here this morning. I don't know if that's even possible. Yeah, I think it probably is. Holy Spirit can have more than one emotion going on at the same time, I think. I have a warring spirit inside of me today. That's why I normally put on a different shirt. And this morning, I got up this morning, and I just reached in my drawer and pulled up a shirt as I was doing my show prep, and it said Embattled Warrior. And boy, as soon as I put that on, that really hit home, man. We're embattled warriors. We really, really are embattled warriors. And even as I sit here right now, I'm trying to discern these two spirits as to where the Lord would want me to take it. Listen, we're going to do communion together, okay, folks? So I'll give all of you that are out there right now, you might actually want to call somebody else. That's right. You might want to text somebody else and say, tune in. We're going to do communion. And before I do that, I got my little graham cracker here and my orange juice right here. So I'm ready to go. But I'm going to do it right at the beginning. I just got to get this warrior thing off of me. And I'm trying. You think I'm crazy? I'm listening. I'm hearing voices. If you know what I'm talking about here. I'm hearing voices. One know the right way to go. Hey, Spence, go to the calendar real quick. Let me get this in there, because I know if the Holy Spirit starts a rant on me, it'll break the flow, and I don't want to come back to it. Patriot Jam tonight. Patriot Jam. I'm sorry we don't have that up on the screen, man. Ohio Brett's put a lot of time and effort and energy into this first ever Patriot Jam down near Circleville, Ohio, at Cook's Creek Golf Course. Starts at 5 o'clock, I think. No, 4 o'clock. Start maybe even earlier than that. 3 o'clock, maybe 3 to 9. I guess it is. And it's a fundraiser. It's a lot of different things, not just for us. It's an idea that Brett started, Patriot Jam, to try to get people out into the streets and get the Christians to stand up, the patriots to stand up together and fight together. There it is. First annual Patriot Jam concert series, 3 to 9 p.m. And Brett just told me last night it's $20. If you just walk up, if you don't have a ticket, you can just walk up and buy one for 20 bucks. I think that's what you said, Brett. And remember, the 20
that's,
bucks.
That's it, right, Coach. Bring it on. I'll praise me to God.
It's a fundraiser, folks. Why do they have to charge that much? It's a fundraiser. That's why we're trying to raise some funds. And Brett also said, if you want to bring 60 people, put 10 people in a car, 20 people in a car, like one of those old movies when they all used to jump in Volkswagens, as many people as you want to bring, $60 for the entire carload of people. It's a donation. We're looking for a donation here, right? Brett, do you have anything to add on this, brother? I know that you've been doing a lot of work on it.
Well, yeah, I just want to say thank you to all the ministry, Coach, to you and to Steve Deck and Roger and Randy Lunsford and everybody that chipped in. It's a team effort. This is the prototype. God let it on my heart, and we're going to take this across the country. All praise be to God.
Amen. Amen. And, folks, if you want to help us with this, I don't say this off. It's been a slow month on donations. Don't know what it is. But today would be a good day to jump in here and help us support what's going on there with Ohio Breath. Tomorrow we're in St. Clairsville. I can't wait to go to St. Clairsville, Ohio with Betty Perkins. And if you guys are close to that area, we are doing it. Can you pull that up there for me real quickly, Spence? Eastern Ohio Salt and Light Brigade. The information is right there from 10 in the morning to 4 p.m. Betty's first real action she's tried to do. Let's go support her. Michelle and I are going to be there. Hi, Brett. You're going to be there, aren't you, Hi, Brett? We're going to be there.
I'll be there.
Heck yes, man. It's going to be a great time. So,
and Donna is here to help. So good morning to you all.
Hey, awesome. Got some help. We're looking forward to it. Luckily, it's not going to be as hot as it's been here. Whew. Hey, you know what? I feel the Holy Spirit really calming me down and directing me. It's going to be good. Hang on there with me, all right? And also, forget the first startup, Michigan. People got mad because I said a bad word about we don't give a darn about the whole state of Michigan yesterday. I love the people of Michigan. I just don't like the Michigan Wolverines. So the first one at Louis Family Restaurant, 8 a.m. tomorrow, right? Get there, man. Let's get a group going up in Michigan. Let's get these Salt and Light Brigade things going all across America. What's going on? Put the contract or schedule back up there for me, Brett. I'm sorry. God, my brain. Yeah. Okay. Kindred of the Kingdom Conference. We know what's going on there. If you're not getting emails from Clay, you're missing out. Clay's giving us great details of what's going on. Bards Fest. Now I'm going to stop you right here. Bards Fest is in Missouri next week. And we've been invited to go and be part of it. And I'm having on the show Monday, Scott Kesterson is going to be on our show Monday. Now, if you can do this real quick for me, Spencer, because this is going to get me off and running here. Go to that Bards Fest thing. It says, peace be still, brother. Go to the 14-minute mark. I want you guys to hear the heart of Scott Kesterson, okay? This is a guy who's putting on Bards Fest. And as I said, he's going to join us here Monday. And I want you just to get it. This is from a broadcast that he does. Scott does podcasts as well. But he's really stepped out and to try to do what we're doing. Bring Christianity into this fight. Bring the Spirit of God into this fight. And I just want you to listen to Scott for just a few minutes here and understand he is going to join us Monday morning. Yeah, to talk about Bards Fest, but not about that. Just where we are and what's going on. So the 14-minute bar, go ahead and let that roll, Spencer.
Point of your society is faith. And nobody believes enough in God. We're right now at a very critical cusp in our time. Which way will we go? And that's the big question. Which way will we go? Are we going to go down a path where we, the few, have to suffer through the misery of the many? Because there weren't enough that stood up truly in God's, to God and to God's light. And to really stand up and be bold to lead the nation. And in so doing, a nation walked itself off the cliff. Or are we in a time more like Esther, where the commitment of the few, even unto death, in the dutifulness to God, is so profound, so deep, and so absolutely committed to Him, that in the process, a people finally awaken and take on the responsibility.
Mm.
Of defending themselves and reawakening the power of God. That last point is very critical because in Esther stands up and it says that she will make this challenge even unto death. In so doing, as her people fasted, though the story doesn't specifically say this, the implication is that they became aware of her dedication and in the process, reclaim their strength in their faith.
You can stop right there.
There is so much to say there.
There is so much to say there, Scott, because that's, whew, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit laid something on me this morning. Let me get it off. And then, again, folks, get a communion, get some a liquid and get something to Jeff Nairs and Todd Henry are going to do a teaching on communion here. We'll get into it, but I got to get this off. I got to get this off of me. I ruminated a little bit yesterday after the gospel gunslinger was on here. Sam's my kind of guy. He's my kind of guy. How about this? He is a manly Christian. That's almost anathema anymore, isn't it? Hey, Ohio Brett, do you ever hear those two words ever put together in American lingo anymore? Manly Christian. Do you ever hear that? I don't know if I just invented that term or not.
It's rare.
But I was ruminating yesterday. I was ruminating. That means thinking on some of the stuff that the gunslinger had said, and some of the things I see going on in America. Some of the it's everywhere. It's happening everywhere you look in every aspect of America. The devil is going freaking crazy. And we seem so helpless. We seem so powerless. Give me a thumbs up if you realize there's no power in the church. Friend, come on.
That's right, Coach.
Amen, Coach.
There's no power in the church. Folks, we are God's team. Wait a minute. We are his A team. And we have focused so, oh, Lord, I'll say it. Thank you. I'll say it. We have so focused so much on the church being the bride of Christ that we've forgotten we're the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are his hands. And see, I hear it all the time. I used to hear it when I'd go to some of those greasy, gracie churches and they talk about, oh, we are the hands and the feet of the Lord. And well, we have to go out and we have to meet the needs of the community because we're the hands and the feet of the... I'm going to tell you something, folks. Do you know that the hands of the Lord has a sword? Do you know that when he comes riding back on that white horse? Hey, that's Revelation 21, isn't it? Can we get that up there? I just heard that from the Lord. Hey, folks, he's not a... Listen to me. He ain't a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger anymore. He isn't. He isn't that. He's not a broken Savior hanging on a cross, folks. That isn't him anymore. Right now, the Bible says he sits at the right hand of the Father. He sits at the right hand of the Father. And at some minute, he's going to stand up. And the Father's going to say, okay, son, now it's time to go. Isn't it 21:8? Well, the great white throne. I saw heaven open and behold a white throne. Keep going. And I saw heaven open and behold a white throne. Somebody tell me, Dale, am I in the right place? Keep going. There it was. Keep going. Anyway, I saw heaven open and behold a white throne and he that sat upon it. Oh, come on. Where is that? There it is. I saw heaven.
Yes.
21. I was in the right place. Huh?
And yes.
Where does he white out on the white throne? I don't want to get away from it. Jesus is coming back as a conquering king. He is right now a conquering king. When he comes back, he's riding with a white horse, and his eyes are going to be a flame of fire, and out of his mouth, it's going to be a sharp two-edged sword with he might smite the nations, right? And then he's coming back, and in righteousness, he's going to judge, and he's going to make war. Let me tell you something, folks. That is the King of Kings that we are serving right now. And I'm going to tell you that those sitting in the church ain't got any idea. There it is. It's Revelation 21. And I saw dead and small. 11. Keep going on down.
Right. 1911, I believe.
1911. Well, I can't believe it. Are you guys picking me up? Huh? Keep going, Spencer. Somebody do it. Find it for me. Somebody,
Revelations 19:11, he's coming on the white horse.
Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, thanks, Dale. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. and friends. And in righteousness, he comes and is tolerant and extends a hand of love to everybody and welcomes everybody into the family. Is that what it says? No. This is the conquering Christ who right now is sitting at the right hand of God. Right now, people are saying they can't wait for Jesus to return. Are you serious? His eyes was a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And here I come. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in linen, fine linen, white and clean. You guys going to be on one of those horses? And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite. Everybody, I never had that done to. I don't know if anybody ever smited me, but it doesn't sound good. Doesn't sound good.
Hey, Coach, I was sharing this last night in football. I don't mean to stop, but sometimes I think we get a visual perspective of a horse and him. But remember, these are giants in the land, spiritual, angelical beings. When you read about angelic beings in the Bible, when John saw them, they fall like den men, because not only the fallen angels, but the angels of the Lord are massive. They're huge. They're not small. When Jesus comes back, he's not coming in a physical, smaller stature. He's coming in a huge, gigantic stature. And that horse that he's riding on is not your typical horse. It's going to be massive, massively large.
The whole world's going to see it. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. There's that tolerant, loving, everything's okay with me, Jesus. There he is. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. Do you understand this? Do we understand this? He has on a vesture and his... He gave his life. And he's looking at what's going on. And I'm telling you, the rage and the wrath that is building up inside of him is beyond what we can ever. We better pray for mercy. And he had on his vesture and his name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See, he doesn't say U.S. Supreme Court. He doesn't have U.S. Supreme Court sitting on his leg. He doesn't have Congress. He doesn't have the LGBT movement on his. No. It's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I got to ask you a question today. Why aren't we exalting him as such right now? Why aren't he is right now King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Why are not his followers exalting him to that rightful position? Why aren't we doing it? Why are we so helpless? When Sam was talking yesterday, I couldn't get away from it. Why are we so helpless? What is up with us, church?
We don't recognize the authority, Coach, that we have in Christ.
We don't understand, man. It goes back to what Jamie Walden taught me anyway. It's a military commission. We are in the folks, look here. We're coming back on white horses. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. He cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come, boys, come and watch what's about to happen. This angel says, everybody come here and watch. He calls the buzzards. Why? Because you're going to eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them. In the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth. Hey, Dale, those Psalm 2 boys, why, they're showing up here at this judgment, this white throne judgment, weren't they? And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies. What? You mean they got armies? Well, the Lord has an army. Oh, yeah, we're the hands and the feet of the Lord. Boy, oh, boy. And they gathered together to make war against him that sat on that horse and against his army. Man, folks, I thought Jesus loved everybody. I thought everybody was a child of God. Somebody's lied to us here. Somebody has clearly lied to us. And that beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, them that worshipped his image. And they both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. He wasn't done yet. And I saw the remnant which was slain with the sword of him that sat upon that horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And the fowls of the air ate till they were full. Why are we so helpless? Now, I'll ask you something else. We're going to take communion. Get yourself some communion elements ready. Well, Sam said to me yesterday that I couldn't get away from all day. I want you to ask yourself, as you check your prayer life, your personal prayer life, if you have one, are your prayers offensive or defensive? When you pray, do you say, oh, please, Lord, please put your hedge of protection around me and protect me from the wicked one and keep him away from my grandbabies? And, oh, Lord, please don't let anything bad happen to me. Oh, Lord, thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Or do you say, Lord, crush my enemies? Lord, even right now, those who are plotting and planning right now to destroy me, destroy our ministry, destroy our work, Lord, right now, bust their teeth right now, Lord. Do you pray that way, or do you pray defensively? Oh, Lord, please don't let him score a touchdown on me. Oh, please don't let him do that. Or you do pray, Lord, let me be that strong safety and blitz me through that three gap and smack that quarterback. Think about it. That's what the whole time Sam was talking yesterday, I'm ruminating in my mind. We play no offense. Can somebody explain to me, as we sit here today on Friday the 13th, a high holiday, by the way, can somebody explain to me how in the hell, yes, I said it, how in the hell can Satan be triumphing over the Church of God that's coming back on that horse? Can somebody explain that to me? I know you can't, so. There's a couple of reasons, really, that if we were to burrow down into them, fear.
I can explain it.
Unbelief. Fear, unbelief, sin, lot of stuff.
I can explain it, Coach. He's not triumphing over the church. He's triumphing over the false church.
Yeah, I can debate that with you, Larry. Because let me tell you something. I'm going to say that word again. What the hell are we doing? We come in here every day, do a show. What are we doing? What are we doing? I get four emails. I got a letter right here from some lady, by the way, Mary in Iowa, Maine. Where are you? Iowa, Mary? Where is she, Michelle? She's in Iowa. She sent me a book. I'm reading it. I recently moved. She's in New Hampshire. She's in New Hampshire. Hey, Mary, you didn't give me, I don't know how to get a hold of you. And she said, she says, help us, David, please help us. Got it, Michelle, New Hampshire. I get these all the time. Help us. Why? Because for some reason, people out there are looking at us and we're the only ones got any gumption to do anything at all. We're the only ones. Who else is doing it? Meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting of stickmen. Meeting after meeting after meeting. What are we doing? What are we doing? I get an email. What am I supposed to do? I get a message this morning from Tracy. One of her friends went to jury duty, wouldn't wear a mask in jury duty, and they arrested her and threw her in jail. What are we doing? Where is the army of righteousness? Who would that be? What might that army look like? Well, hey, it'd be us. It's us. What are we doing? We're not doing anything. Oh, we go do some honking waves. They're going to have us so wrapped up here. I was thinking about this. I was doing some. Bear with me. I'll get Todd in here in a second. This is all good. We all need this spanking. I get frustrated every time I deal with the IRS, bookwork, all that kind of stuff. And then I think about all of the people in the queue and all of our friends who are dealing with the same thing. And every time somebody asks, or I get to deal with financial issues, the consideration always comes up, well, what about the IRS? And I think, in my heart, what about them? Where did the IRS get power over you and over the church? Where, folks, do you understand that through inflation, they are stealing more, that you're getting more and more money and it buys less and less and less? And the job of the IRS and the Federal Reserve was to make living so expensive that both you and your husband had to work and the kids had to go to school. And there ends the tradition of Christianity, where the fathers are taught to teach it to their children, who will teach it to their children, who will teach it to their children. And I almost puked last night when Ohio Brett was here, and we wrote a check for some donations came in for Victory Jam, and I wanted to throw up when I said, "Hey Brett, I need a receipt." How much longer? How much longer? They're murdering babies. Do you know that it's now confirmed that the University of, hang on. It's now confirmed, not even denied anymore, that the University of, bear with me. Michigan. I know, hang on.
Michigan, coach.
No, it isn't Michigan. I don't think. Pittsburgh. That the University of Pittsburgh, it is now confirmed that they allow they don't kill unborn babies. They allow them to be born alive so they can harvest their organs. Because if they kill the babies, the organs die almost immediately. Doctors confirm university used harvested body parts from babies born alive.
And they've been doing that for 60 years, coach.
They've been doing it with your tax dollars and my tax dollars. And if I want to give Pass the Salt Ministries, wants to write a check, I have to let the IRS know where that money went. Are you kidding me? How did we get here, folks? How did the church become so powerless? How did we become so powerless? How do we become so fearful? How do we become so ineffective? How do we become so comfortable? That's why I got a mixed uniform on today. I am an embattled warrior. I'm an embattled warrior. Can I tell you the truth? I haven't been fighting my prayer life offensively. I haven't. I lay my head on my pillow and I say, "Lord, please don't let the FBI come and get me tomorrow." I don't pray, "Lord, crush the teeth of the FBI." I don't pray that one. "Lord, crush the teeth of the IRS."
Boom.
"Turn their weapons back on them, Lord.
Destroy them."
We don't pray like that, do we? No, because we've been taught that that's not very Christian. I could go on. I'm not. I'm going to let Todd and Jeff get in here just a second. Let me grab Reggie real quick and then Clay. Go ahead. You guys, hey, hang on. You know I'm telling you the truth. You know I'm telling the truth. We pay tax dollars for them to have babies be born alive, and then people get mad at me if I say damn or hell or if I'd ever say S-H-I-T. You strain it in that and swallow a camel. They're freaking killing babies with your money. Go ahead, Reggie.
Thank you, Coach. I was going to come in here and tell you about Psalm 58, but people don't realize why I am the way I am. I've been fighting this fight for a long time, and I can't get it through to even people in the queue what we're dealing with these children. So I am a warrior, and I speak sailor. I don't care what any of you think, because this is a war, and it is an ugly war when you know the truth of it. But what I was going to tell you, Coach, was Psalm 58. We'll back up what you were reading earlier. Psalm 58.
Pull it up there, Spence.
You can read it, but we need to fight for these children.
We need to fight for the Lord. The children are his heritage. We got to fight for these things. Didn't she turn almost into a teenager? Look at that thing right there, huh? I was thinking last night, man, if I knew somebody was, I'm telling you, I didn't have a good night. I was thinking, boy, if somebody was trying to mess with this little thing, the rage that would come out inside of me to defend her. Where's our rage for the Lord's little babies? For the Lord's little children? As they raise your taxes and then send you $1,200 back like some serf. Money they printed up. Money they stole from somebody else. The Lord's money. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Hey, ain't nothing belongs to Caesar. It all belongs to the Lord. Every bit of it belongs to the Lord. Can somebody tell me right now anything the Lord doesn't own? Anybody tell me? He said he owns everything. He owns everything, including Caesar. He owns Caesar. Oh, man. I'll behave. How long is Psalm 58? Do you indeed, not long, good. I didn't mean it that way. Do you indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do you judge uprightly, O ye sons of men? Let me give you an answer. Hell no! Yea, in heart ye work wickedness. You weigh the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Wow. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They're like the deaf adder that stopped her ear, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Let them melt away as waters which run continually. And he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows. Let them be as cut in pieces as a snail which smelteth. Let every one of them pass away like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. So that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Oh, yes, there is. Verily, he is a God that judgeth in the earth. Thank you for that, Reggie. Woo! That'll get you drug out of some pulpits, won't it? Start reading that in some pulpits. Coach, we're supposed to love everybody. We're supposed to tolerate everybody. Coach, we're supposed to be diverse. We're supposed to be diverse. Really? Really? I'm missing something here. Clay, come on in quickly. And Jeff and Todd, get ready here.
I don't think people are stepping up to the plate because it's like you say, they're fearful. If we're about to go into battle or a fight, we need to be mentally prepared. People are not mentally prepared to accept the repercussions of whatever may come down on them if they stand up.
That's right.
If they can't even get there mentally prepared for what's going to happen to themselves, how are they going to get themselves mentally prepared for what's going to come down on their families?
Even they love their lives too much, Clay. I admit it. Evidently, I love me more than her. Evidently.
Yeah. Evidently. So people need this. This is the main point I just want to get across, and we'll talk about it probably at the conference some. But we got to get to the point where we are mentally prepared for the consequences of what might happen to us and our loved ones. But we got to figure a way to stand up and be brave, folks.
No place is safe. No place is safe. Cass, come on in. Then Jack, that's the last two. Then we're moving to Todd. Go ahead, Cass.
Hey, good morning, guys. So you know the name. Cass Sunstein, he's the guy who came up with the term.
Yes, go.
Right. So Okay, containers. Did you hear that the containers are being cut in half? One of the Chinese shipping containers got COVID, and now they're closing the entire dock, right? So, listen, they're engineering a hunger crisis. They're trying to control us all. I mean, how many times I got to say it, guys?
But how long are we going to sit back and take it, Vinny? That's my question. How long are we going to sit back and take it?
I'm done.
How long are we going to sit back and take it? That's the question.
You know, I got this.
Let's have another meeting. Let's have another conference.
Let's have another
Zoom call. Right?
Nobody more. It's time to kick some butt. Right? Yeah. You see that little girl on your shoulder? You got to save her.
We got to do it. Vinny, I got to move. Jack, go ahead.
Do it.
Yeah, it's just real simple. We just have to do Hosea 4:6 or 6, whatever it is. Hosea 4, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. We're still talking about stuff and people aren't learning. And so we're just going to walk away from them. Let's do it ourselves. Thanks, Coach, for leading the pack. There we go.
Right there it is. Stick man. Hey, I hate to say it. God bless Mike Lindell. God bless Mike Lindell. He's trying to do something. Right? But hey, I there's General Flynn. You think General Flynn couldn't lead an uprising? There he is. Hey, General, where are you? Where are you, General? Where are you? Flex those muscles. I hate to say this. Hey, President Trump, where are you? Where are you? I ran into Pastor Todd Henry. He's been a dear friend of me for I don't even know how long. Long time. And I met Jeff a couple years ago when we did our training here at Sky High. Love you, Reese. Reese stayed with us last night. Jeff texted me or emailed me, messaged me, whatever. Wanted to know if I could would have lunch. Well, actually, Todd wanted me to have lunch. I went to lunch and Jeff came with me. And as we were sitting at lunch this week, Jeff laid out the whole idea of how cavalierly we treat communion, how cavalierly we do it. And I was thinking as they were talking to me, the last church I went to, and I'm not besmirching the last church I went to. Please don't take it that way. I don't ever hardly remember ever having communion there, ever. I remember being a Catholic, and every service was about the communion. The Mass was actually the crucifixion of Christ again. Then we actually, Bible, or not the Bible, our catechism taught us that it was called transubstantiation, that priests somehow, that wafer became the actual body and blood of Jesus Christ. Then you go to some churches and they have communion regularly, and go to other churches and they don't have it. And is it just a tradition of man? What is it? Bible says that many of us are sick because of it. So the conversation I was having with Todd and Jeff as we were going through this thing is that, man, this is something. This is something. And Jeff said, Coach, we need to start it on Friday the 13th, which is today. 26, 26, 26. 26, Matthew 26. 26 days. Jeff, Todd, whichever one of you, come on in here, man. Spell this thing out. Folks, right now, go get yourself a little bit of a wafer of something and a little bit of a drink. Now, friends, one of the things that's going to be important about this is we're going to do this together today, and then we're going to do it together at the end of the 26 days. But in the meantime, you need to sanctify your home, husband, wife, children, however it is, over the next 26 days, and take communion together as a family to help bring back the power of Christ back into the scene. Come on in, Jeff and Todd. I see you two guys sitting there together.
Good morning, Coach. Thanks for having us. We really appreciate it. Hi, everybody. This came on me real quick. Last Friday, I had this stirring in me, and it was very strong. Saturday morning, I woke up about 3:30 in the morning, and it was very, very strong that I needed to partake in communion. I've been taking communion now and then and started to do it in an increasing way. But I was stirred and woke up, and it was so strong on me that I went and tried to find, the scripture, and I went to Matthew 26.
By the way, this is Jeff. This is Jeff.
Yeah, that's
so me. You remember, Jeff has the beard. Pastor Todd is clean shaven. Go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting ready for No Shave November. So, you know. Anyway, got a head start. But anyway, so this started just with a stirring on a Friday and a waking up in the middle of the night on Saturday last week. And about a year and a half ago, we did a challenge called the Proverbs Challenge. And it was 31 Proverbs over 31 days. And that got into my mind as I was reading the scripture. And I was looking at Matthew 26, which is the first time we hear about communion. I noticed it was verse 26. And of course, if you're going to go to 26, you're going to read 27. And it came upon me that, what if we did a challenge again for 26 days? So the
Matthew 26,
verse 26, and let's do this for 26 days. And here's why. You mentioned the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You've mentioned battle today. You've mentioned war. We've felt your anger today, your passion and your zeal today. And in order for us to do what we do, in order for this, for everyone out there doing what they're doing because of this show and what everybody's doing in their communities, for me personally, I have to be careful not to go the way of the zealots. How do I do that? Well, it goes back to Jesus every time. I think I have this strong feeling that everyone needs to become more intimate with their Lord. And see, we always look at Jesus as our Savior, but we say Lord and Savior. Well, is he really your Lord? How do you get to know the Lord? It has to become intimate. So what happened was, Pastor Todd and I talk about communion every now and then. We take communion now and then. And we've read about communion. We've read about Smith Wiggle's work. And we talked about communion for healing, which is powerful, by the way, for healing. And I've heard some pastors use that where they take communion every single day and have gotten healed because of that. Why? Because it's an intimacy. It's a closeness. You're developing a relationship like you and I do when we go to lunch or when we talk on the phone or whatever it might be. We develop that relationship. And when you do that, every time I take communion, it's different. Every time I get a different revelation, every time I discover something new in the scriptures. And so I came up with this challenge. And what I would like for everyone to do is to go challenge everybody. Use your social media, talk to your family, bring them in, start taking communion for 26 days at least, and see what happens. That's what the challenge is about. I got a couple of notes I want to go through here before I forget. We're going to introduce an app at the end of this, Pastor Todwell. He's got some great revelation in the history of communion and what it's all about. But the big thing I want you all to know is that some of you have had communion. Some of you have not. Some of you listening out there have not even had communion, or you've done it religiously, like Coach was saying, in the Catholic Church or others. And some of you, your church does it once a year or twice, something like that. But I want you to know, some of you also think that you can't do that yourself, but you can. You can. And it can be anytime, anywhere, with anything. Somebody mentioned a potato chip earlier. Well, whatever you got, if you sanctify that unto the Lord and you take, it doesn't have to be juice, red juice that looks like blood, right? It can be anything. It can be a glass of water. It doesn't matter. Partake of the elements, but make it serious, make it real, make it personal, and make it intimate. Take your time, be in a quiet frame of mind, and focus on the Lord. Commune with the Lord. Get that intimacy with the Lord and see what happens. That's the challenge. 26, 26, 26. I need to get a t-shirt, Coach.
Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing. We'll get Todd in here in a second. See, here's the thing. It's like I spoke about this maybe the first of this week or the end of last week. I couldn't remember. See, we legalize everything, don't we? We took the Last Supper and we legalized it. And the only guy who can do it is some priest has to stand up there and sanctify it, or some pastor has to stand up there. And Jesus said, this is my body given for you. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. In other words, he said, hey, listen, you are always on my mind. Isn't that what they said? And yeah. Communion is an acknowledgement. You're on his mind, or he's on your mind. You say, hey, Lord, sit down here a minute, right? let's do this thing together, right?
I can't play on your team. Ohio Brett knows. I can't play on the football team if I don't have some kind of relationship with the coach. And the more I get to know the coach and his mind and his thinking, the more I can battle out there on the field. And that's what we need to do. So you're talking about war. You're talking about battle. Mm. But if you don't have that intimacy with the Lord, you don't have that connection with the coach, with the leader. And it's a personal thing. It's very deeply personal. And I've got to the point now to where I look forward to it and I'm excited about it. Like when you're excited to see your wife or a friend or something like that, that's how it can be. And after 26 days, I believe that you all will feel the same way. Tell everybody, and let's put this challenge out. They don't have to start today. They can start next week, 10 weeks from now. It doesn't matter. Let's keep it going worldwide.
Especially today being Friday the 13th, it's a high That's holiday right. for the evil ones. So brothers, hey, just what yeah. we talked about, let's smack them in the mouth, huh?
That's
let's
right.
smack them in the mouth before they get up and running. Let's hit them before they get out of the chutes. That's what I say, right? Hey, Brett, stay low, drive your feet, right? Stay low and drive your feet. Come on in, Pastor Todd.
Coach, I feel you this morning. You were talking about this balance or this struggle of feeling fired up, but different emotions. I felt the same thing. I want to focus on a couple things and leave everybody with two words about communion. Number one, remember and rejoice. Remember, rejoice. Okay, because in Matthew we see, first of all, 1 Corinthians, where Paul was giving the account of Jesus' description of that night. He said, "As often as you remember me, remember." So we remember the suffering that Jesus went through, but we also have to rejoice in the result of it. We got to walk in victory. I mean, you know, when I was first got saved, I was in a little country church and we were always so somber and so it was so serious, which it should be, but it always ended that way. And we didn't end up rejoicing because, man, this changes everything. Mm. What Jesus did for us changes everything. We need to be walking in victory and power and infused with God, and that's the result of it. So remember and rejoice. So over the course of the next 26 days, I want to encourage everybody to keep those two words in your forethoughts, remember and rejoice. And I also want to share with you to go back to Exodus chapter 12, Matthew 26, and 1 Corinthians 11. Those three passages are kind of, I think, some places where you just live there for the next 26 days.
Hang on, Todd. I'm looking for a pen, which I don't have here.
Okay. Exodus chapter 12 is the story of the Passover.
Somebody will text it to you, Coach.
I got it, bud. I got it.
Exodus 12 and Matthew 26. Of course, the other Gospels record the same story that night that Jesus introduced the Lord's Supper. So Exodus 12, Matthew 26, and 1 Corinthians 11. Also, think about this. The night that Jesus introduced the Lord's table, the disciples, if you read Matthew 26, they were talking to him. It was the time of Passover. It was the Passover. It was the Jewish feast of Passover. So they were preparing this meal. And by the way, the word Passover, the Greek word is Pascha, which means lamb. So every time we hear the word Passover, they were hearing the word lamb. And I'll emphasize that here in a second. This whole thing revolves around a lamb. You know, when Jesus came on the scene, John the Baptist, first thing he said was, "Behold, the Lamb of God."
Amen.
He knew something. And I don't know if they understood what he was saying, but he knew. That night, think about this. So they prepared the Passover meal. They're in the upper room. They're starting to partake of the Passover ritual. You know, there was a lot involved in that ritual. The lamb had to be roasted. It couldn't be boiled. They couldn't eat it raw. Part of that Passover meal was a lamb. There was unleavened bread. If you go back to Exodus 12, you'll read all about that. They had bitter herbs. All this was symbolic of the bondage that they were in when they were in Egypt, the Israelites. So here they start into the meal. And all of a sudden, think of this, if you were in church and you were in a ceremony and all of a sudden Jesus is sitting there and he says, "Hey, one of you guys are going to betray me." And you imagine the disciples thinking, "Well, this is different." Or he's introducing something new into this ritual. And then all of a sudden, you know, Jesus, you read through the story and it ends up being Judas. And then after that, Jesus interjects this thought. He said, or not thought, this reality. He said, take this bread. This represents my body. So we see Jesus making a transition from the old Jewish Passover feast to this New Testament, this new covenant reality. It's not that lamb anymore. It's transferring to me. In fact, do you have that video ready, Coach? I want to show
I
a
do.
Video called
yes.
The Lamb of God.
Yeah, play that video real quick there, Spencer. The Lamb. It's only about a minute. The Lamb of God.
This is so powerful, guys. Yeah, let's watch that first, and then I'll comment.
Can't hear it, Spence.
Picture of our Lord Jesus. This man is you and I, the sinner. He brings the innocent lamb, a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what they do in the Old Testament. He brings it to the priest. The priest represents God's eyes, and God's eyes that is Christ holy, examines not us, but our lamb. It's not a question of how good you are. It's a question of how good your lamb is. It's obvious why you are there. You have sinned. So he checks out. The lamb is good. You and I place our hands upon the lamb. It's like when you trust in Christ, you place your hands on him at the cross. All your sins goes into the lamb. That's what happened at the cross. And at the cross, all of Christ's holiness and righteousness goes into you. Amen. And the priest hands you the knife and you kill the lamb. It's our sins that put Jesus at the cross. So that we always remember that. Amen. The lamb dies in our place. The innocent lamb dies under the fires of judgment. But you walk away with the favor of God, the blessings of God, with the promises of God. Amen. Hallelujah. You have something you never had before when you came.
Mm.
Amen. So powerful. That just grabbed me. You see the dark cloud that left the believer or the man, went into the lamb, but there was an exchange. That's what communion is. It's the exchange that we have with God. I mean, we're trading our dirty rags for his righteousness. Again, I really, like Jeff said earlier, every time I take communion or something different, it's like a multifaceted diamond. There's so many things in it. True. But, you know, Jesus, that night that he introduced it, it wasn't just, oh, he came up with an idea, let's do this. It was all rooted in Exodus 12. You know, Coach, you talk about types and shadows of the Old Testament. Everything springboards out of Exodus 12, the night of deliverance from bondage in Egypt. And, you know, another, Jeff mentioned healing. That night, envision this too, if we go back to the night that they were delivered in Egypt, Israelites. Moses, you know, all the plagues had come and Pharaoh still refused to let him go. And one last time, Moses asked them and asked Pharaoh to release the people. He refused. And Pharaoh said, I don't want to ever see your face again, Moses. And Moses said, okay, you won't ever see my face again. This is it. And that is when God told him this one last plague, this is going to set you free. He introduced and told then the Passover meal. He said, get a lamb. You're going to kill this lamb. You're going to spread the blood across the posts of your doorway and over the top, because the death angel was coming to Egypt, was going to kill the firstborn of Egypt that night. They were all, when they ate that meal, God told them to have your shoes on, have your coat on, and have a staff in your hand and get ready. Your deliverance is here. Now, this is powerful. Mm. And they ate that lamb that way that night. But you know what? The next morning after that all happened that night, and in Egypt, every single house was affected. There was a dead person in every house in Egypt that night.
Mm, oh boy.
Firstborn of every animal was dead. But God was delivering his people. And it says when he led them out of Egypt, there was not one feeble person among them. And there were over 2 million. And they had been in bondage. You know, there was some sick people in there. I think miraculous healings happened that night.
They were nourished by that. Mm, mm.
So, yeah, there's so much. Another great, you know,
we're going to do it now.
I love this phrase. When death slew Jesus, it slew itself.
Mm. Amen. When
death slew Jesus, it slew itself. Michelle, so I want to, let's just, there's so much more we could do. I don't want to take too much more time, but let's go ahead and partake. If you've got your elements
okay,
there.
Okay, Todd, listen. I want to make sure before we do that, I want everybody to understand. Folks, listen. Do this in a moment of intimacy with your wife or your family or whoever it might be every day. Every day.
Your children.
Your children. I got my granddaughter here with me. I'm going to impact another home. I got my wife over, even though she hadn't cleaned herself up here today. She's over here as well. So we, as our family, not that she's dirty. That sounded awful, didn't it? She didn't get a chance to comb her hair. She just Gigi this morning, all right? She just Gigi. And so she's here, and Reese's here. Reese's the oldest of our grandchildren. So it's important that Reese would be here with us by the unction of the Lord to be here and put her cross hat on. And so, folks, 26 days. Can I do it again tonight? Yes, of course you can. Your spouse is at work. Yes, do it again tonight with him. Sanctify your house. Sanctify your home. Okay, Todd, we got about 5 minutes here, dude. Let's go ahead and get rolling on this. Michelle.
Yeah, right. You know, I mentioned at the beginning, remember and rejoice.
Remember and rejoice.
Remembering the suffering. Yes, the remembering part is we look back to the suffering that Jesus endured, but the rejoice part, it actually says, as often as you do this, you do show the Lord's death. What's that mean? We rejoice that we can show the principalities and the powers of this world that Amen. We have been changed, that we belong to God, and that's in Colossians 2, but we can, 2:15, it says that when Jesus spoke, spoiled principalities and powers, and he made a show of them openly.
Amen.
So that word "show" is the same word.
Triumphing over them in the grave, right? Triumphing
so as you get over, your bread or your.
Got your bread.
Yes. Yes.
my granddaughter, so my wife can't hear me.
Take so your I'm bread. Ready. Let's partake, Father. We.
Go ahead, Todd. I'm sorry. I'm going to mute myself.
Okay. As we take this bread, Father, we thank you, Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the stripes you bore, for the brokenness that you endured of your body, for our healing. And we rejoice and we receive right now this bread is symbolic of your body. Amen. Jesus said that this blood, the wine that he shared that night, was symbolic of a new covenant, a new testament that he was instituting that night. So, Lord, we receive this juice, this whatever we're drinking, symbolic of your blood that was shed for us. There, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And we thank you that we're free today, and we rejoice in the salvation and the covenant that we have with you today. In Jesus' name. There's a song there, Coach, if you have that. I came across this last. I was having a real physical challenge a year ago. And, man, God's brought me through. He's been healing and restoring my body. And I came across this, and I just watched this. And I bet I watched it 50 times. I just wept and wept. It was like I was born again all over again. And that's the name of this song. It's called Born Again. This really is what it's all about. You know, what we rejoice in and thank God for, that communion really is a symbol of, is our new birth and restoration of our lives. Go ahead and play that.
Well, today I found myself after searching all these years, and the man that I saw, he wasn't at all who I thought he'd be. Well, I was lost when you found me here, and I was broken beyond repair. And then you came along and you sang your song. Like I'm born again. It feels like I'm
That was so powerful. Our cat walked downstairs. Folks, Matthew 26 for 26 days. Build an altar in your home and do it, huh? Wow, what a weekend. Yeah, see you at Betty's tomorrow. God bless you.
Love. That's how we
Thank you, guys. Love you all.
Thanks, Todd.